from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to Postcard from Pop Brad on this very different day, because himself is out doing stuff in a hot place and he's got all of his numbers wrong. He's just such a Luddite, really, isn't he?
I'm hot.
72 degrees Celsius. It would have all have evaporated
from now. It's hot, though, I tell you. Honestly, you've never experienced 72 degrees Celsius, have you?
Well, neither has anybody else.
We have here.
You would die.
You checked it on the internet. How do you know that's real? Why is not the word of a respected...
No. I did not check it on the interweb.
You checked it on your phone.
The word of the respected journalist tends to fall on the side of mild exaggeration.
I actually have to say thank you to the Weather Channel, where I looked it up on my phone.
Me too.
we just went to the truth, that's all.
we got the truth. We went to the Weather Channel. They know what they're talking about. They're actual meteorologists.
They might have missed the one-off at the beginning.
Might not as well.
No. Why not? Well, then it would have been 129 degrees.
Anyway, moving along. Good old Prince William.
Love
him to bits. Do you know what?
I do too.
He is the epitome of brilliance. And everyone's going to go, why? He's only flying helicopter. No. He's married. He's got a kid. And yet, funnily enough, he's retraining as an adult for another job.
And you forget, he lives in the council house.
Well, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah. But he's actually... Yeah. Look, guys, he's retraining. He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to do anything at all.
No.
He doesn't want to. I like him. He's very proactive. I like him.
Yeah. And to retrain as an adult is an inspiration to everybody else.
Maybe he just couldn't get a job in anything else.
Well, I think he's also very good at flying helicopters. He seems to be he has quite a flair for flying helicopters.
Helicopters are nice. Helicopters,
but in
nice.
A different capacity.
Eric's
everybody
got
does
one,
that.
You know.
I've got a helicopter.
Is anybody
Eric's
listening
one,
to me?
Actually, Lee, you're wrong.
What? Yeah, have you broke it?
No, I've got three now.
Oh. Have you?
Yeah.
You could attack the Gaza Strip.
Actually, I ought to say thank you to Katerina for the third helicopter. Her father is part of the ownership team of, you know, the air ambulance in Poprad, Lee, that flies around.
What, is that what you've got in Poprad for air ambulance?
I've actually got a replica, limited edition, of the air ambulance, which has been presented to me.
In case you get poorly again?
No!
So you get there
and you're fit in it. It's a replica.
It's a replica.
You sit on the top of it, Rachel. Don't be silly.
No, I get dizzy going round and round on the blades.
You sit on the top of a helicopter. Wouldn't the rotor do nasty things to you?
It's all right. If you tuck your legs up to your chest, then nothing will happen. You'll be all right. Just
spin
them.
Right. Okay, going to be serious for a minute, boys and girls, because in Australia there's been a day of mourning for MH17 passengers. And, Rachel, we pass it over to you.
There were 38 Australians killed on that terrible, disastrous plane journey. And today, it was yesterday. There was a memorial service and all the flags around the country flew at half mast. Tony Abbott, who we know to be out buffoon, actually had some nice words to say, and he didn't put his foot in it, which was great. He's been really angry about the fact that we can't seem to get anybody in there to get the remains back. But the fact is that there is a war going on there, and it's very dangerous.
Mm.
So, you know, they've had to pull back. And the Dutch Prime Minister has said he's halted his search for remains entirely because it's completely, you know, untenable. You can't go anywhere near there. You're going to get in big trouble, if not killed.
Mm.
So there was a lovely service, and it was really nice, and I think it's going to happen probably for the next few years, and then it would do what other disasters have done. It's become a day that we remember and we reflect and think of those who have lost their families. The whole business about the Russian separatists and the rebels, and I just It befuddles me. I mean, we've discussed this before about how and why and what happened, but there's no respect paid at all. They know they shot down a civilian aircraft. They know they did it, and they said, whoops, we shot down a civilian aircraft, yet they won't just hold it for a second so that people can get people out of there. The remains of people who are dead and who want to go home.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, thinking about it, in the Great War of 1914-18, they actually did stop for things like that.
Yeah,
that's right. And if it was good enough for them, it should be good enough for Mr. Putin and his lot now.
But there is a point about Putin's attitude to this, which does concern me. You see,
He could stop it if he wanted. Of
course he could, but it goes a little bit deeper than that, doesn't it? Because the US and the EU have accused, like, the Russian separatists of attacking the jet mistakenly. That's what the word they've used is. It was a mistake,
mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
and the Russian government, along with the rebels, just say we didn't do it.
Well, they did it.
Yeah, well, they just deny it, and this has caused a major problem. What is Putin playing at? Because he could have stood up right at the beginning and said, we have an accidental involvement in this, and let's get it sorted, like you say, let's get it sorted out, get everything sorted out, and so could the rebels. But they have created something, like at the beginning of the show, we're talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and how horrific that was as a film, it was. But this is real life horror being perpetuated by Putin for some inexplicable political reason. And I can't understand. Why didn't you just say, yeah, we did it, but it was by accident. We're so sorry and we'll sort everything out. What was he going to lose by doing that?
I don't know. And, you know, when this happened, you know, when this has happened previously, because, I mean, I know three separate occasions where it has, immediately the people who were responsible for it said, we did it and we're sorry. It was a complete accident. We ballsed up. Sorry about that. And then everybody sort of says, well, okay, don't do that again. And everybody gets on with it. But this is ridiculous. This has gone beyond ridiculous. Nobody's claiming responsibility for doing it. We know who should. And he refuses to. And I agree with Lee. What on earth? What's to be gained from not putting your head out there? Is it just an act of petulance again by this crazy man?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is, because there's a story that's marked down later on. I'll just mention in passing now that he's banned, or his country's banned, all European food imports. And that creates that if European food imports or worldwide food imports actually supply 60% of the food to Russia, and he's banned that. He has nothing left to replace it with. You've got dried soup, basically, is what's being offered in Russia now. So where's the political motivation there in denying something that you could have just said, yeah, well, we're really sorry about it. It was awful, and to not do that, and then to ban food. There is a strange political motivation behind this that soon, I'm sure, will become clear, and it will not be a good thing.
Okay, we move on. Hello to Harry, and hello to Linka as well. Thanks for your company. This is very, very interesting. A new law has been put together in the UK, and what it says is, if you're the boss of an energy company and you fix the prices, you can go to jail for 2 years.
Exactly.
But you won't go to jail for 2 years. You'll get
a bonus like a banker.
Well, yeah, you'll wear a pretty bracelet on your ankle, and that's about it.
Well, you won't even get that, Rachel. That won't happen.
That's true.
Look at the bankers. The bankers who destroyed the world. Right? Mm-hmm. We brought the world to the knees.
We gave them more money,
and they're still operating exactly the same system as they were operating before it all collapsed. That's what's going to happen with these people who run energy companies. You know, I still am fighting a £20,000 electricity bill on an empty house, still after all this time. Doesn't bother me, I know I'll win, and it'll all work out, and I'll have a laugh about it, and I'll expose them all over the world. But I am still fighting a £20,000 electricity bill on an empty house, and they're threatening me with all sorts of mayhem. Take me to court, or take me to court, I say.
Well, there's that to it as well. I don't understand this, you see, because all that's going to happen is the buck's going to get passed around, and it'll be, wasn't me, Gov, and nobody's going to get to the bottom of it. It's a nasty, stupid law. I don't get it.
It's not the law that's nasty and stupid. It's the situation that was there that caused the law to be created. And it's, you know, when you think this is a time when people have lost the understanding of freedom of speech and the right to speak your mind out, and those in power are still toying with our very lives for profit. You know, if you think about the banks, like we said, search engines, the government. Remember, we were all told to drive diesel cars. We were forced to buy diesel cars. Now we're being penalised for it. Yeah.
Yes, buy a Prius, you heathen.
Yeah, buy one you can pedal or something. Anyway, move on to some of our funniest stories of the week, because about time we did. Again, this is just for Lee. There's a ghost in the dock.
God,
a man who
hilarious.
Pretended to be a ghost while behaving in a rowdy way in a cemetery has been fined. Yee-haw! Hooray! Marvellous, wonderful, brilliant.
Why? Please tell me why that was wonderful and brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody else, all he did... He stood in a graveyard.
He goes,
and exactly, flung his arms and went, woo! He pretended to just be a ghost for a joke, and it's cost him 35 quid.
Well, you could have given somebody a heart attack.
And I'm
curious. Should have been in the graveyard if they were going to have a heart attack. They should have been in hospital.
No!
This actually makes me really angry.
Why?
Because I don't know about you guys, and I'm certain you have the same situation we do, where the courts are clogged up with rubbish.
Present.
So that nothing can. So people who should actually be being punished have to sit there in jail and wait and wait and wait, and their victims have to wait and wait and wait for any restitution, etc., while they deal with this sort of rubbish. This is frivolous, completely frivolous.
Can we just read what he was charged with and what he's pleaded guilty to?
This is
the nub of this story. The 24-year-old pleaded guilty to using threatening or abusive words or behaviour likely to cause distress. He went, woo! Now all the listeners have turned up, because they're all frightened, and they're all going to report this to the police.
If he'd have rattled chains, he would have definitely done prison time.
Oh, my
word. Willie's up somebody and been all sorts of things going on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway, we move on, because I'm so pleased with this story. A young girl who's been presumed dead for 10 years has been reunited with her family. This is a young girl who was lost during the tsunami back in 2004. Everybody had given up on ever finding her again. They didn't obviously find her body. She was just presumed washed away to sea, and that was the end of it. But eventually, everything sort of clicked together, and she found her original family. How wonderful is that?
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's wonderful. I love that. We do some stories about, you know, a phone getting lost and travelling halfway around the world, and we think that's amazing, but this is really very cool.
It is just
and
wonderful.
Imagine that, how wonderful. After a while, and it's been 10 years, so after a while you would give up hope and you would presume that they had passed in this disaster. And there they are. What a mind blower that must have been.
Well, there is that to it as well. It's absolutely astonishing. But there you go. A terrified family had been left trapped at the top of a Ferris wheel after staff switched off the lights and closed up.
That is my worst nightmare. It really is. I don't want to get on a Ferris wheel ever. But if I was, you know, unwell enough for somebody to have actually, or chemically imbalanced enough for somebody to drag me on one and strap me to a Ferris wheel, and it got stuck at the top, I think I'd jump.
Well, jump when it's at the bottom, not when it's at the top, though, Rach.
No, I'd just go, get me out.
Perhaps I'm cynical here.
Go on, then.
Was this just a mistake, or did the family make a mistake? I don't know.
Or was it a publicity stunt?
Correct.
I think what happened at the end, or what the... But I think what the company said is pretty low down. That they blamed a young girl. It was a young girl who'd been left in charge of it. And...
That's horribly unfair.
And they blamed the young girl. Well, really, surely they should be blamed for actually putting a young girl in charge in the first place.
She wasn't capable of doing her job, which, you know, if that's what the result of her doing her job unsupervised was, she shouldn't have been unsupervised.
Well, exactly.
Exactly. So it's, I don't think it's a publicity stunt. I think it happened. I think it happened by accident. And I think the firm, once again, should stand up and be counted and say, right, we've learnt from this. We've learnt from this mistake. We're going to make sure it's right. We're not going to blame a young girl for doing it. It's not her fault. We were in charge. Yeah. She was just the focus of it. And they should be ashamed of themselves. It's been stuck at the top of Ferris wheel overnight. Good views, man.
No. There's nothing
there's all sorts
about
you
it.
Could do
there's,
up there.
No, I have a healthy respect for the law of gravity, and I have no business being up there.
I will happily admit this. I once upon a life in London went into the loft.
Of your house?
Of me house. Yeah. Because I wanted to try something out, and I thought, that'll do it. And then they had to phone the fire brigade to get me back down again.
Well, how did you get up? Was there a ladder?
Well, the steps. I took a step ladder up there.
And you couldn't get back down the step ladder?
No.
Why?
Because I was like a jellyfish.
Well, you're all like a jellyfish. Why would that stop
you? I understand, you know, because I'm not good with heights. I actually get I've got a bit of vertigo. Mm. And I get up, even when, now that Rob's gone, I have to, he's put things in, because he's 6'5", he's put things in cupboards that are really high up, and I can't reach them. And I tried to stand on a chair, and I actually thought I was going to faint.
Yes, well, when
it's because not funny, it's horrible.
No,
thing.
It's horrible. And seriously, because it's so hot here, Lee,
uh-huh.
I had to put one of those mozzie nets that snaps together with magnets on the door, to the balcony, because the mozzies were coming in. And I stood on a chair, and all I could see was the ground beneath me. And I'm shaking like a leaf.
Uh-huh.
It's horrible.
If you started shaking like a leaf, it'd go on for hours. Sorry.
Is that the ripple effect?
Oh. Actually, that's a point.
That's unkind.
Did anybody see the video on my Facebook page? Did anybody see it?
Which video?
It's the one where you have to look at the letters.
Oh, the weird, weird one. Yes, I did. It nearly gave me a migraine and I nearly had a seizure.
Oh, that one with the thing you have to look at the letters in the middle.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I couldn't work out what it was spelling.
Oh.
It was spelling vomit.
No, it was spelling look up as the video finishes and all the plants are swaying around in the breeze inside your apartment. Even though they're not moving.
I never got that far. I felt physically unwell.
Did you really?
Yeah. I got car sick.
If you could do it, you actually sit there and all the plants are like the leaves are wobbling on the plants. It's really marvellous and it's cheap.
If you can't do it, get a bottle of wine.
No, it's cheaper than that. Anyway, good old Brutus has been at it again.
This is the best story of the week and I am Brutus.
Brutus is the one that jumps out of the river in Australia, mm-hmm. in the Northern Territories, and feeds from idiots that put food over the side of a boat for him.
Yeah, but on a stick, get on a very big stick, they don't just sort of wave their hand around.
You sure they're not Darwinites?
They're all Darwinites. Oh, well, actually, they're not. I shouldn't say that because lots of people that aren't Darwinites go to Kakadu to see Kakadu. However, it's
Kakadu
not
the same. All this.
And didn't they do? Yeah, they did a song about it. Whoa! They did a song. Catch a croc and kill a shark. Kakadu, catch a croc. Never mind.
In this particular story, this 18-foot saltwater croc called Brutus, who I've got to mention is 80 years old.
And has lost its teeth.
He's got no teeth and he's got one leg. He fought a bull shark and won. And I don't know how his jaws must be so strong that he just had this shark in his clutches.
Crunch.
And they tossed around for a while and he won. And the guide, who's actually been working there for 30 years, had never seen anything like it. But it was brilliant. There were all these photos all over the newspaper and all over Facebook and all over everything. Brutus, he was messed up. And bull sharks aren't, you know, friendly creatures by nature, and they're fairly vicious. But my word, three-legged, no-tooth, 80-year-old Brutus, victor.
Ah, right. Good old Brutus, and we like him.
He's brilliant.
Because we've got to do this before we run out of time, boys and girls. Police in the UK were hunting for a stolen Holy Grail relic.
Uh-huh.
They went into a pub because somebody said, "It's there, Governor," as they do. And they went into Lee, L-E-A, not Lee, L-I-L-E-I-G-H, at Lee, which is a little village in Hertfordshire. It's a very sweet little village.
I've never been entered by a policeman, I have to say.
Lucky you. Because somebody had claimed that the vessel that Christ drank from at the Last Supper was in this pub. What they found was a salad bowl.
Who believes this when they hear it in the first place? Do they have to investigate all inquiries? Because if so, just tell them there's a unicorn in your garden or something. Well, seriously, what were these plods thinking?
I have no idea, but they did actually get a genuine, I saw it, a genuine warrant to go to the pub and to seize anything that represented this, and they found a salad bowl. And as the landlady put it, if she had something like that, she wouldn't have it on display in the pub anyway.
No. I love this, how they said they received intelligence.
No, it was unintelligence. Absolutely unintelligence. And just to cheer Lee up a little bit, because I know he'll like this.
Yeah.
The wonderful James Corden.
Who's he? I know him. Oh, that knob.
Oh! The wonderful James Corden.
He's a big, fat, wobbly...
No, he's not.
He's
very
sense of humour.
He's very funny, a good television presenter.
He's a child. He's a child in a man's body. He's like 3-year-old dancing around in the background and talks in a big girly voice. Hello, I'm James Corden. Oh, I'm so funny. Tickle me, tickle me.
Lee.
What?
Do you know how much he's liable to earn for this?
What, for going, tickle me, tickle me?
No, for being on the, or being the new host on the Late Late Show. On,
I hope it's that late, nobody watches it.
No, I can watch it here, actually.
At about 10 o'clock at night, it's not that late.
Yeah, it's not that late.
I bet you'll earn a fortune, but that's, again, it's like the internet, it makes no sense.
But this is traditional
we're not
media.
We're not over the internet at all, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, really.
No, of course not. anyway, he's going to be on the CBS show, The Late Late Show, which means he's going to be worth a blinking fortune.
But Paul Potts is going to be on it as well. The man who became famous because he was an average pub singer but didn't look very good.
Who?
Paul Potts. Yeah, the male equivalent to that Scottish woman who was the same, had a fairly good singing voice, she could do well. Susan Boyle, yeah, she became famous. Now they've got the big wobbly James Corden introducing people like that on the Late Late Show.
Jealous.
Gavin and Stacey, Gavin and so what was that about? Two people eating hot dogs and hamburgers.
No, it was a good black comedy.
Gavin and Stacey's on this in this country.
Is it?
Is it? Mm-hmm.
Shall we,
a channel called UK TV.
Right, we will take the programme, just to sort of wrap up a bit, we'll take the programme down to Lee's level. This is a story submitted by Lee to the programme.
Yeah.
Editors, producers and entourage that hang around in the back of the studio doing nothing but for shining their fingernails and drinking their tea. We're not at the BBC now, are we? This was submitted by Lee. The headline is, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the lame in Spain falls mainly on the naked.
That's a good headline.
Is it?
Oh, no, I'm just telling while I try and find the story now because I'm at the other end of the thing. Yeah, this is a good story. I did a whole Spanish section, ladies and gentlemen, out in Spain, all you expats and all you people who live out here and want to be in touch with people who are real. And I did a whole section, and this was one of the main stories. The lame in Spain falls mainly on the naked. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because the authorities in southern Spanish town of Almeria are so lame that they've actually managed to ban the thing that made them famous in the first place. And that's nudism, the naturist hotspot of Europe. They made it to the top last year when it broke the Guinness World Records for skinny dipping when 729 naked volunteers plunged into the Mediterranean. It was famous across the world on televisions, in newspapers, on radio and everything, and now they've banned nudism.
That's crazy.
Don't get it.
What's wrong with
it's like baking the world's biggest cookie and then banning gluten or
Well, I mean, they're just about to put a hotel out of business because it's a naturist hotel.
Yeah, and you get fine for if you go topless. Well, I go topless all the time.
Well, I'm not. This is not a crudity thing. When we were in Cyprus last year, I said to the guy on the beach who's looking after the umbrellas and thingies, what sun loungers, and I said, "Is it okay for my better half to be topless on this beach?" And he said, "Yeah, of course." He said, and he jokingly said, "As long as she doesn't mind me looking, of course." No, and he, you know, there was lots of girls there. I have to say, a lot of Russian ladies as well, Russian young ladies, topless, and nobody gave a monkey's uncle about it.
It's just the norm.
Why should we? Yeah, nudity is the is how we came into the world.
I was gonna
say,
we're born like it, for goodness sake.
Exactly, we've all got those bits, and the joy of being a human being is that seeing somebody else's bits is quite entertaining and exciting.
Well, no,
it doesn't mean that you don't after you that you've got to keep. If it is almost perverse to wear clothes, it's almost saying it's perverted to wear clothes because you are looking for sexual excitement, and the only way you can get it is for people to put the clothes on. That's a bit weird.
Now, I'll tell you what, in the early days of satellite, this is absolutely true, there was an advert for a bathing product, but you know, bubble bath stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the UK, when the young lady got in the bath,
yes,
she was wearing a bikini.
Yes.
In the German version, because I could watch German telly with a new satellite dish, in the German version of the television, I was only watching the German television for journalistic reasons. I was writing for a satellite magazine.
Course.
Yes,
of course.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I can prove I was writing for a satellite magazine. Anyway, so she get in the German version of the same product, young lady, who's the same young lady, gets in the bath, naked, on the German version.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Exactly.
The fortress of censorship.
It is. It's an incredibly old... We wear clothes for one reason. That's for protection and for warmth. There's no other reason to wear clothes.
Correct.
And it's just this bizarre attitude we've got towards our own... the very basic thing that keeps us alive, our body. We're ashamed of it. Why are we ashamed of our body? I'm an Adonis. I am proud of me.
Well, you speak for yourself.
I was speaking for myself, actually.
That's all right.
nobody else knows the language quite as well.
Yeah, there is that to it as well. And very quickly, what's this fire story in Tawata Laboratory?
Well, I think this is another, probably the best story in the world of this week, ladies and gentlemen and everybody else. A fire official says that a vat of eggnog, do you remember eggnog? We used to have that.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah, exploded at a laboratory in New Jersey and really badly injured two workers. Imagine getting injured by eggnog.
Are you sure it wasn't the fact that they were drinking the eggnog and they knocked something over?
Injuries. That'd be internal injuries.
No.
They were smoking next to the eggnog and somebody threw a match in it.
I don't know what happened. The eggnog just exploded, ladies and gentlemen. What? How could your eggnog explode? And what happens if your eggnog explodes?
I have no idea. But we haven't got any time to decide. Rachel, it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye, Rachel.
See you in 2 weeks, Rachel.
Oh, I miss you.
Miss you too already. Lee.
I won't miss you, Rachel. I will. That was a childish thing to say. I'm sorry, I'll miss you so much. In fact, I'm not even going to say goodbye to the ladies and gentlemen because it'll make me cry because it'd be like saying goodbye to you.
And all I can say is thank you to the gods this week. We haven't had a thunderstorm, thank goodness for that. I'll see you next week. And if you're around anywhere, do keep your eyes open because next week everybody around the planet will be, well, most of the sensible people, will be commemorating 50 years of offshore radio in Europe. And it's a wonderful thing because without those people, we probably wouldn't have the radio we've got now. Funny that. See you soon. Take care, boys and girls. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.